Hey guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and I am giving you my rapid reaction to the Falcons' 14-9 loss to the Minnesota Vikings in Week 13.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, as usual, we are giving away a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. Talk about this at the top before I get into this episode, because I'm sure I will have my, it'll cause my pressure to rise a little bit over the next 30 minutes. So the Pro Football Focus subscription that we are giving away, that is an edge account. That is a $40 value. That with it, you get player grades, snap counts, position rankings, fantasy projections, tools and charts, draft coverage, all that stuff and more, for free. All you have to do is go to Locked On Falcons on iTunes, give us a 5-star review, leave your Twitter handle in the review, and each week we will choose a random winner from one of those people that leave reviews. If you do not win that random drawing, then you can check out all the great Locked On, all the great Pro Football Focus content on the Locked On Podcast Network. That's with Mike Renner every Wednesday on Locked On NFL. You can also check out Jeff Ratcliffe, the director of fantasy for Pro Football Focus, on Locked On Fantasy every Thursday. Okay, so let's get into the game. This game sort of had a playoff atmosphere, as it were. I think it lived up to it. I can't speak to what was going on inside the stadium because I wasn't there. You know, it doesn't stop other people from talking about it, but I wasn't there. So I certainly think the play on the field felt playoff-esque, as you could say. Two teams slugging it out for 60 minutes, scrapping and clawing, as you expected. One of the league's best defenses going up against what has the potential to be one of the league's best offenses. Hasn't quite always lived up to it this year, but we were hoping to see a little bit more. I'm not too upset with the Falcons. You're not going to get a rant from me today, honestly. I mean, you'll get a rant on some things because I always have to rant about stuff, but not in terms of like, oh, the Falcons are disappointing me. I'm cool with this loss, to be honest with you. It's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, you know, we went into this game. This is a tough Vikings team. This was not going to be an easy win. That defense is legit. I think that's my biggest takeaway. They really put the clamps on the Falcons offense. And I guess for part of me, and you know, I've said this 1,000 times, but I truly believe that your expectations mostly determine your perspective when it comes to things, from whether or not you like a movie, or really when it comes to things like sports, particularly sports that involve your favorite teams, and in this case, the Atlanta Falcons. If you sort of expected that there was a pretty good chance that the Falcons would lose this game, I don't think you're sitting here on Monday listening to me being overly dramatic about that. But for many people, they expected more out of the Falcons. I certainly think the Falcons were capable of putting out more, but at the end of the day, I'm not too distraught over this loss. Particularly relative to all the other losses they've had this year, where I felt like even in the games where I expected the Falcons to kind of lose, like the Patriots, I thought they would put out a much, much better performance. This past week had me a lot more optimistic about the Falcons' offense going up against this Vikings defense, but alas, it was not to be. We saw the team look basically the same way it has looked multiple times this year, and there have been many episodes prior to today where I have complained about those things and ranted about those things. But again, it's not necessarily something I'm going to do today, just simply because I do think the Vikings, unlike those other previous opponents, that I don't think were good enough to force the Falcons to play that type of way. I think the Vikings are, or at least were on Sunday. Some of those issues we've seen is the offense's inability to sustain. We've also seen the defense give up some long drives, struggling to stop the run. But again, you know, I do think this is a lot easier to swallow when it's against the Vikings than it is against the Dolphins or Panthers. Two teams that, you know, aren't chopped liver by any means, but I think the Vikings are legitimately one of the three best teams in the NFL right now. The Falcons aren't quite there. We thought if they could win this week, we could start making that claim. But we're not quite there yet. You know, maybe we'll get there. We talked about whether or not Sark could figure out how to attack this Vikings defense, and that would be a question mark. We wondered how much the Falcons would miss Desmond Trufant, and we found out, you know, the last couple of days that Brian Poole was downgraded. He wound up being inactive and did not play, so they missed him as well. And, you know, we got some answers to the question. The answer to the first question on Sark was no, he wasn't good enough. And, you know, the answer to the injuries in the secondary was they missed him a lot. I think the Falcons defense can be commended because I think Diggs and Thielen were mostly kept quiet. Alfred did a great job against Stephon Diggs, and Thielen was mostly quiet for the first three quarters of this game. And really, outside of that one big catch he had on the final drive, you didn't really see a whole lot from him making a big difference in this game. So I think the Falcons secondary stepped up, but unfortunately it wasn't enough. There was just a few too many coverage breakdowns. We saw the running back check down to the running backs be effective. We saw the tight end and Kyle Rudolph be effective as well at times. And it just wasn't enough. And I don't think the rest of the defense played at a high enough level to basically compensate. We wondered if the defensive line was going to be a big, big test for the defensive line. And one of the questions I was going to have is, like, this was what you need from this defensive line to feel really confident, given the likelihood that the Falcons are going to be a wild card team in the playoffs. I still believe that they will be, but other people might disagree with that. But, you know, they're going to have to travel come postseason, and you really need defensive lines travel. Good pass rushes travel well. And I was hoping to see this Falcons pass rush really sort of pick up the slack that the secondary was going to lose given the injuries. And I think they were able to do it somewhat early. We got some early pressures on some key third downs and got some stops early in the game, but it sort of petered out as the game wore on and seemed like they wore down as they've often done this year. The Vikings got in a lot of third and shorts this game. Looking at the numbers, out of the eight opportunities there were where it was third and four or less, the Vikings were able to convert six of those. So that was a key contributor, and I think a lot of that is owed to the checkdowns and the run game. And I think the Falcons compensated from not having Trufant out. We'll see what the tape says, but looking at the game live, it seemed like the Falcons were playing a lot less man coverage than they were early in this game. And I think the Vikings were able to take advantage of that from time to time. We saw McKinnon, I think he led the team. Jerick McKinnon led the Vikings in catches today. Murray had a good day running the football. I don't think the run defense was awful, but it certainly did peter out on several drives. I do want to talk a little bit more about the offense, but I do want to let you guys know that you can catch up with all the things going on around the league on Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson this week. So let's talk about the offense, because that was the sort of the pivotal matchup, the Falcons offense versus the Vikings defense. I think the Vikings obviously won that battle, holding the Falcons to only 9 points, no touchdowns. I know that was a huge disappointment for a lot of people. Not a surprise. They're the league's second best red zone defense. They're only giving up, and they're the league's best third down defense, I think. I don't know what the red zone percentage is. I want to say it was like, I know the third down percentage is like 29%. I can't remember what the red zone percentage is, but I think it's something ridiculously low, like 29% as well. We've seen this team struggle against good defenses all year long. That has been a major issue for this team. And we hope that, the last couple of games had built some confidence and some momentum. But I think the Vikings proved to be that brick wall that this offense, wound up running into. I don't think they got enough big plays. Only one 20-plus yard play after a really great day against Tampa Bay. And I think you need those big plays against a defense this good. As I talked about on last week's Rapid Reaction, talking about the value of big plays, it's hard to string together long drives against a good defense because they get off the field on third downs. Again, as I said, the Vikings give up, don't only allow conversions on 29% of their third downs. And that number just lowered because the Falcons only converted one of 10 of their third downs on Sunday. So 10%. And again, it's hard to string together these long drives that you need to by converting multiple third downs and scoring points without big plays to eat up a significant chunk of yards. And the fact that the Falcons could only generate one explosive play was problematic. It wasn't surprising, that the Vikings could keep the Falcons' explosiveness in check. That's, you know, that's the testament of being a good defense, is being able to do that, but it certainly wasn't enough. Now, we knew the reason why this would be a tough matchup for the Falcons would because largely because the Vikings could get pressure with their front four. They have a big, long corner in Xavier Rhodes that can jam Julio Jones. They give that guy safety help consistently. And when you can get pressure with four and dial up the type of blitzes that the Vikings are capable of dialing up, you can force Matt Ryan to get rid of the ball quickly. And it's hard to dial up big plays when you don't have longer routes that, you know, can develop. And then when the opposing defense is a disciplined defense that makes open field tackles, it's hard to get yards after the catch. Now, I'm describing basically the opposite of what the Falcons, maybe not the opposite, is probably too strong a word, but several of those things are issues that the Falcons really struggle with. And that's sort of the difference between the Vikings defense and being one of those elite defense, hashtag elite, and being where the Falcons defense is, which is coming up, but not quite to that level. Now, not to get too sidetracked on talking about the Falcons defense, because I will talk about them a little bit later on. But it is one of those things where it's like, even when our offense is clicking on all cylinders, this would still be a very, very tough matchup for the Falcons offense for those reasons. And I don't know. I don't think I said it on this podcast, but in the other podcast I do, Falcons Central Radio, on ProFootballCentral.com. I believe someone asked us earlier, Scott and I, the co-host that show, asked us what was the matchup that we were looking most to this season other than the revenge game against the Patriots. And I named the Vikings game because I'm like, the Vikings are a very tough matchup against the Falcons offense. And to me, you will learn a lot about this offense based on how they play against this Vikings team, who has had their number twice before and now has had their number three times in a row. And while everybody spent this past week getting into pointless debates about Antonio Brown versus Julio Jones, and you know, the reality is what we talked about, which is the Vikings defense, unlike the Bucs, was not going to make the same mistakes, and they know how to play Julio Jones. They've done it twice before. They weren't going to change what they did. You play press man against him. You jam him at the line. You throw off the timing of his routes and the timing of the quarterback. You give him safety help, and you pressure the quarterback. And if you can do those things, you can contain Julio Jones. And what Julio ended up with, what, like two catches today on like six targets or something like that? And like, you can beat this Falcons offense. And certainly you may not shut down the Falcons offense, but it can certainly contain them to a point where it's a very winnable game for your own offense. And that proved to be the case today, where the Vikings only really had to put together two good, you know, three, I guess, when you count the final one, three good drives this entire game. And that's all they really needed to do to beat the Falcons. And that's what they did. And, you know, talking about the Falcons defense, again, I'm not like, you know me, I've been very critical of the Falcons defense for most of the season. I haven't been that critical of them the last couple of weeks, because I think they've been playing better. I'm not going to be that critical of them today. They certainly didn't do the things that I wanted them to do. They certainly had the same sort of failures that we saw earlier this season, but I'm less upset about it against the Vikings than I am against the Dolphins, as I said before. You know, the Vikings were able to string together a couple of long drives, including an 8-minute drive at the end of the third quarter. That was something I've complained about many times in this podcast, the defense's inability to get off the field, particularly later in the game as the game wears on. But I would sit here and say that with the defense playing well in the first half and then sort of struggling in the second half, they probably got a little bit worn down. You look at the two scoring drives that the Vikings put together. The Falcons defense actually started out pretty relatively stout against the run, at least competent against the run on those drives. But it seemed like they got a little bit worn down, and with Vikings and Murray able to finding some running room. You look at that 8-minute drive in particular. The Vikings started off successful on two of their first five runs, 40%, which is good, but nothing special. It's like sort of like the baseline of what you're shooting for with success rate, which is 40%. And then you look at their last four runs on that drive, they were successful on three of them. And those were four out of the last five drives, and they capped it off. The last four of the last five plays on that drive, and they capped it off with a Rudolph exploiting a blown coverage in the end zone for a touchdown. And so, you know, it was, we'll see what the tape says, but we know this Falcons defense isn't a stout run defense. They've never been a stout run defense. They've played a little bit better in recent weeks than they had all year long, but I never really trusted them, you know, to really stop the Vikings. I was hoping that they would, but I wasn't overly confident about it. And that's one of those things where, like, our defensive line, I don't think was quite good enough to compensate. I thought Bleedy Ray Wilson did a good job taking care of business early on against Adam Thielen again, because Thielen was pretty quiet. I think he only had like one catch in the first half, and then he made a couple of sort of dink and dunk catches in the third quarter, and then maybe had like that one big play at the end where he blew past C.J. Goodwin on that third and four on the final drive to ice the game. You know, and like other than that play, like I thought we kept Thielen in check. We kept Diggs in check. But the defensive line, you know, the pass rush made some plays early, but again, too many third and shorts, and it just wasn't enough. You know, let's talk about the end of the game because we just mentioned it. I didn't have a problem like some people did with the Falcons' choice to go for the field goal. I didn't quite get why that was such an upsetting call. It's fourth and four against the defense at the 27 with 5 minutes to go. You got to be somewhat confident in that scenario that settling for the, you know, that opportunity then and there is not going to be your only chance to score. I think you cut the lead to two, you put yourself in a favorable situation, and you hope that your defense, even if they give up again, you got to remember the average drive in the NFL is 2.5 to 3 minutes. So again, even if you give up a first down or two, you still should, with 5 minutes to go, you still should have enough time, like a minute, 90 seconds or so, if you do it right, to get the ball back and get the ball and go down and get in field goal range and kick the game-winning field goal. In that scenario, that's what you're thinking. Obviously, Matt Bryant missed the kick to cut the lead to two, and so that sort of threw a wrench into the socket. And, you know, at that point, it's really no different than going for it in that situation. So I don't quite understand why people are upset that the Falcons didn't go for it, because, like, I don't understand how you can be like, oh, it's a fourth and four against probably the best defense in the league, if not the best and the second best defense. Why would you feel confident the Falcons can convert that? They couldn't even convert a third and three like two series before. You know, I think, you know, had it been a fourth and one or a fourth and two, had the ball been inside the 20, especially inside the 10, had it been 3 minutes left to go, then I think you seriously, you know, contemplate going for it. That in those situations, going for it probably is the smarter call, given that the thought process, again, is you got to think about, is this the best chance I'm going to have to score? And in those sort of situations where you only have to go 1 yard, or it's a certain amount of time left on the clock, or you're at in a point of field position where the chances of you getting back into the red zone are relatively low, then yeah, you got to take advantage of that opportunity and go for it. But that was not the case for the Falcons. So I can't get mad at them. Like, again, I can understand people saying they don't agree with the decision and saying they would have preferred to the Falcons to go for it in that situation. But I don't see how you can say it's the wrong call or that somehow lost us the game. You know what I'm saying? Because missing a field goal in that situation is essentially the same thing as going for it on fourth and four and not getting it. You may not agree with the decision because you like being aggressive or something. But like, I don't agree with Serena Williams marrying Alex Ohanian rather than me. But it doesn't mean that she made the wrong decision right there. And that's the thing that people need to always understand, that people always have a tendency to talk about their preferences like it's a right or wrong thing. And I don't think it is at all. So I don't think the Falcons were wrong at all for going for the field. I think that was the right call in that situation. You know, I think it all sort of leads to people being upset that the Falcons lost a winnable game. It certainly was. I don't fault people for that, but I think the Vikings are a good team. I think they're a better team than the Falcons are. And you know me, I relish these opportunities because it gives me the chance to say that you know, what I love to say, which is the Falcons aren't as good as you think they are. But I think they'll have another shot at the Vikings later this year. I do. I still think the Falcons will make the playoffs. And again, that's coming from me, guys. So you know that means something. It's not a foregone conclusion by any means, but I think they're still in the driver's seat as far as their playoff chances go. And, you know, I don't know whether or not the Seahawks are going to beat the Eagles later tonight, because I'm recording this before Sunday Night Football. And so technically, if the Seahawks do win that game, the Falcons will be currently as a seventh seed in the NFC. And so technically, they are, you know, in control of their own destiny. But they hold the tiebreak over the Seahawks. And winning those games against the Seahawks, Lions, and Cowboys are huge at this point. And, like, I'm not one of those people that obsesses with playoff scenarios like others do. So I don't know all the ins and outs of how the Falcons win. But what I do know is if the Falcons finish with the same record as either the Seahawks, Lions, and Cowboys, they're going to be in the playoffs. And right now I think 10-6 is going to get you in the playoffs. I think the Falcons can even lose this week against the Saints and still make the playoffs, assuming they run the table. It's going to be very stressful. It's going to get hectic if they lose on Thursday night. But it's one of those things where if they can get to 10-6, I think they're in good shape. As I look at the Seahawks schedule, right? You know, the Cowboys and Lions can't get to 10-6, right? If I'm not mistaken, you know, or I mean, they can't get to 11-5. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think the Falcons still are in a very good position to get to 10-6. And the Lions and Cowboys can't get to 11-5 because they're at 6-6 right now. Even if they run the table, that best case scenario is they're 10-6. So it's one of those things where it's like you look at the Seahawks schedule. The Seahawks are the only other team, wild card team, other than the Panthers. Right now I'm assuming the Panthers are going to get in. So I'm just looking at you, Seattle. You look at the rest of the Seahawks schedule. They got Philly tonight. As I'm recording this, well, you know, you guys already know the results of that game as you're listening to this. Then they also have the Rams and Cardinals at home. Those are division games. Both of those teams have beaten them in Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Rams did it. I could be wrong about the Rams. I know the Cardinals have beaten them in Seattle. Then they have to go on the road against Jacksonville, who, by the way, if you're making the case that some defense is better than the Vikings defense, I think the only team that you can make that argument for is Jacksonville. And then you have the Cowboys on the road in Zeke's comeback game. So I feel pretty confident that the Seahawks are going to lose at least two of those games. And again, if they lose two and the Falcons lose one more, they're both 10-6 and the Falcons are in. So that's the only playoff scenario I need to know. So we'll see whether the Falcons sort of take care of business. I understand it's a little bit, you know, you wanted to see the Falcons win this game. They didn't. It's unfortunate. I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to blame officiating. I think that's a coward's excuse. Yeah, I said it. I don't get it. People complaining about, oh, man, they blew this holding call in the opening series of the game. Oh, the refs really screwed the Falcons over. Oh, did they? Did the refs stop the Falcons from scoring touchdowns on 7 of their 8 drives? No, they didn't. It was the Vikings defense that stopped them. So this whole argument that they got screwed over by the refs is BS, if you ask me. But look, I'm always going to be that guy that defends officiating in the sense that I don't think it costs teams games. Now, in a situation like the Seahawks game last year, then I can certainly make, you know, I'm not going to argue, dispute that point, that the officiating really screwed us over there. And there's certainly games here and there that officiating makes an impact on the outcome of the game. But this idea that, you know, the Falcons got screwed job by the refs, and if the refs had called it a fairer game, then the Falcons would have won, blah, 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 blah. Sure, maybe that's a possibility. But guess what? You can't control whether or not the refs are going to call a good game or a bad game. In fact, the expectation should be, at this point in time, given how the officiating has been the last couple of years, is that the refs are going to call a bad game every single week. And so what you have to do is you have to be better than the other team where that is no longer a factor on their result of the game. And that was not the case with the Falcons, simply, right? The Vikings were better than the Falcons, right? Because they stopped the run. Or they didn't really even stop the run all that much. The Falcons had success running the football. They just couldn't convert on third downs because they couldn't extend drives. So that was ultimately the Falcons' problem. But sure, I'm sure there's, you know, hundreds of you, thousands of you that are going to blame the officiating and say that's why the Falcons lost or whatever. And I'm just going to roll my eyes and just sigh heavily and be like, okay, guy or girl, whatever your situation is, you know, whatever. But, you know, I promise you guys, there was going to be a rant about something. So that was your rant for for today. That's all I have to say about this game. We can wrap things up here. Oh, guys, guess what? The Hawks won a game. So you might want to check out my good friend Brad Rowland on Locked On Hawks on the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network. Okay, guys. So, you know, as I said on Friday's episode, we're going to have a little bit of a weird week, I guess, in terms of the shows that we do, probably not the standard week. So what we'll probably do is we'll do a recap of this Vikings game on tomorrow's episode. That is Tuesday's show. Wednesday's show will be my All-22 review, and Thursday's show we'll have a preview up for that night's game against the Saints. And then Friday's show, instead of the usual fan talk, it will be a rapid reaction show to that Thursday night game. And then, you know, the week after that will be our back to our regularly scheduled program. And so we'll have a fan talk or something like that then. So in the meantime, if you want to get your questions in ahead of time, or send in your thoughts or opinions or rants, you know, I didn't rant as much on this episode as probably some of you were expecting, or maybe even some of you were hoping. So maybe you can send me your rants. By all means, do so. With 280 characters on Twitter, you can rant pretty good on Twitter, and you can do so by sending me those tweets. At FalcFans is my Twitter handle. Locked On Falcons is the show's Twitter handle. If it's podcast related, it's easier just to send it there because I'll know it automatically. Otherwise, just indicate it as podcast related in your tweet to FalcFans. If you don't like Twitter character limits, by all means, they don't have them on email. That's LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. You also don't have them on Facebook. That's Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. Are there character limits on Facebook? It's like, isn't it like a ridiculously high amount of characters, like 1,000 or something like that, or 15,000, or I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm derailing this outro. I think there is a character limit on Facebook, but you have to be a sick puppy to go over it, I think, is how high it is. But anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, I don't think you can post a novel on Facebook. I'm really getting sidetracked on this, but it is what it is. Also, you can leave a comment on FalcFans.com and LockedOnFalcons.com. Oh, wow. I just suddenly realized right now I did not post the mailbag episode this weekend. I knew I forgot something this weekend. My bad, guys. I will get that up. I will work on that. We'll double up for next week. My bad. I completely missed that boat. So LockedOnFalcons.com is the place where I post the leftover mailbag questions that I did not get to on the previous Q&A episode. We'll just double up on that. I'll completely slip my mind. Pretty hectic Saturday. So apologize for that, guys. And I'll hit you back this upcoming weekend. This upcoming Saturday. So double leftover mailbags, two helpings of leftovers. All right. That's it really, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope the Falcons rise up and lead us to the promised land that is the NFL postseason and uplift us downtrodden Falcon fans that really do need a playoff berth this year. You guys stay locked on, and you know, you fellow downtrodden brothers and sisters that I have out there, you know, you stay hashtag in brotherhood, hashtag in sisterhood. We'll see what goes on with this team on this short week.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I'm giving you my rapid reaction to the Falcons 14-9 loss to the Minnesota Vikings in week 14? Week 13? What week are we in? Is it week 13? I completely forgot. Okay, yeah, week 13. Okay, let's try that again.